can turn to my screen, Brennan. Talking about the gift of God. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1 this morning. God's gift to you. The greatest gift ever. It's greater than my Atari 2600 I got. It's greater than the new PlayStation 4 video game. It's greater than that pair of shoes you've been longing for. It's greater than winning the lottery. Because you'd be broke anyway by next week. You know you would. Y'all be broke up in here by next week if you won the lottery. But what this gift God gave us is eternal. It is forever. It's got the prettiest wrapping and the prettiest bow. And guess what? It has your name on it. Isn't it exciting? I remember growing up at my grandma's house. You know, we go every Christmas to grandma's house, to my granny's house, this granny. She's still with us. Hallelujah. I go to her house, and she has this tree in the back room. And, you know, she had four daughters, so it was four daughters and all of us cousins. One, two, three, four, six or so cousins, whatever. And we'd all go over there. And Grandma would have all these presents piled up under a tree. You remember this, Tammy? And we'd start pulling out. We'd help. Remember, we'd deliver packages. Ooh, that's to me. It says Jamie on it. Oh, that's to me. We love seeing our name on a gift. Don't say you don't. We know it's about giving, but we like receiving too. Let's be honest. We love getting something back. And so when you see your name on that tag, to Jamie, you know, to Carol, you know, to Nancy Rose, a gift for me? I wonder what's inside. And we shake it and we x-ray it and we hold it to the light. You know, we weigh it, you know. Oh, what could it possibly be? Don't try to wrap a bicycle, though. That kind of gives it away. Anyway, you're wondering what it could possibly be. Here's a gift God gave us, wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a manger. And this gift was for every generation, even the millennials. Can I get a witness? And even the next generation, which is, what's the next one called? Ashton, what's your generation called? You're not really a millennial, are you? Aren't you the next one down? Huh? You're Z. Generation Z. It goes, no, that's when God's coming back. We're out of letters. Hallelujah. The trumpet's going to sound. Generation Z. I don't know what is going to be the next one. You can't go past that. Wow. For whatever generation you're in, from bait, we, in this, if you are a what's the World War II veteran generation called? Is there any greatest generation people in here? Grandma's in that generation, right? Granny, stand up. Look, you should like this. You're the greatest generation. Von Seal, can you stand up? Are you able to stand up? Stand up, Granny. Stay up there. Granny, stand back up. Stand back up. Okay. So y'all stay there. Who else we got greatest generation? Anybody else in that age group? Okay, now y'all stand up. Generation Z, stand up. All my Zers, stand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now I want, look, this baby Jesus, this gift was for Granny and Von Seal, who grew up in a black and white TV, before TV world. To that generation, who has a screen everywhere they go and run to polls at Walmart because they don't look where they're going. This gift's for all of y'all. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? This gift's for all of y'all. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated. Thank you very much. It's nice to know we got some Ezers in the congregation. That's pretty awesome. The word goes on. Hallelujah. This gift is for you, no matter what culture. And I'm telling you, the culture has definitely changed. Me and Melanie, doing a little shopping the last few days, have ran into several interesting characters. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm really not. But when you're sitting there trying to figure out, do I call them ma'am or sir, there's a problem. Hello, what's up? That's where it ends up. What's up? That's neutral. But you know what? This beautiful gift of Jesus is for the what's uppers too. Right? It's for all of them. And that's the beauty of this gift. It is not based on how someone is. It's based on the gift of grace that was poured out to redeem all of mankind. Through their failures, through their shortcomings, through their victories, through their defeats, through every generation, it was for us. So let's get into scriptures so our children hear about Jesus this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and says, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation, you know, what manner of introduction this was, and this should be. Why is this angel talking to me? What's going on? The angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And I love this verse 33. "He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Amen. Even Trump can't fire Jesus. Can I get a witness? His kingdom goes on forever. No matter what the world said, no matter what fads come and go, we've all been there. I grew up in the generation of jean jackets and mullets. Right, Carol? Jean jackets and mullets. Well, that generation passed. Thank God. At least the mullets. Thank God. We go through fads in every generation. We go through things that pass. My wife's generation, well, same generation as me, but I wasn't a girl, of course. The big hair. Remember the big hair? Man, hair so big you had a duck going through a doorway. Hair big. So much hairspray could jump like a trampoline. Boing, boing, boing. That generation's over. For most people, it's over. Every generation passes. I was in a generation where I had three different Firebirds. I loved my Firebird. Cruising my Firebird, tending windows, low to the ground, my bass playing. Firebird, I was cool. Then I had kids. And kept getting stuck trying to get them out of the back seat. So I said, okay, I got to upgrade to a four-door. And we actually had, some of y'all still have this, Rodney. We went through the stage of the minivan. I went from a Firebird to a minivan. I got old. I'm in a minivan. Oh, but you know what? That season passed too. We don't need a minivan no more. The kids are grown. Hallelujah. Don't need a minivan. Every fad passes. Everything ends. We see retailers close. We see restaurant chains close. We see churches close. We see presidents reelected every 4 to 8 years. Everything changes. But this gift, this seed of Jesus we just read, his kingdom goes on forever. It outlasts big hair. It outlasts Corvettes. It outlasts every president. It outlasts every war, every movement, every cultural shift. It outlasts it all. He is done. It is finished. That kingdom of God is forever reigning and ruling, and it's not going to go nowhere. It's going to be forever and ever. This is a gift that keeps getting recycled, something like some of y'all do, but this one gets recycled year after year, day after day, and moment after moment. This same gift that keeps on giving over and over and over for humanity. It never stops. There's not a different Jesus for our generation Zers back there as there was for Von Seal and Grandma. There ain't no different Jesus. There ain't no different Holy Ghost. There ain't no different blood of the Lamb. There's not a different cross. It's the same gift that came 2,000 years ago, that wise men traveled for weeks and months to find this baby They didn't travel overnight. If you do stories, history on this, it was a long journey for these wise men finally got to where Jesus was. And they made a journey because something happened that was special. And they brought gifts to this baby. And they knew something was different about this child because the angels had declared what had happened. What they've been waiting on, what you've been waiting on, is not more money, though that sounds good. It's not the right relationship. That sounds good. What you are waiting for, what you are longing for deep inside is that peace and relationship that comes with only one gift, the gift of Jesus that satisfies every hungry soul and it quenches every thirsty person and it goes on forever. When they walk away, he doesn't. When your money runs out, he doesn't. When life changes, he doesn't. I am the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. That's this gift that keeps on giving. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. He came because of me. And he came. And here's what's even scarier. He came because of you. Think about that. He came because of Gordon. Gordon, have you seen the last 24 hours? Don't answer that. He came for Gordon. What a beautiful gift. His kingdom goes forever. Then verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Think about little Mary. She had never been with no man. Even our Z generation knows how that happens, right? You know, you can't have a baby unless a man and a woman come together. Unless God's in it. God did something very miraculous. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Man, we need an overshadowing in our lives, don't we? We need God to overshadow, overtake, oversee the things that are holding us back and break those chains and break those bondages, to overshadow our minds, to let us see who he is. You know, we're coming up on 2020. Cool year, right? Just sounds cool. Man, 2020, that's just a cool year to say. And everybody's thinking about, you know, 2020, what's going to happen, and different cliches, different things. And I know it's a common thing, of course, because when we think of 2020, we all think about perfect vision, right? I got 2020 vision, 2020, perfect vision. And I began to think this year, and what God put in my heart for 2020 is that we share with people the clarity of Jesus Christ, that we clearly show people who he is. And I'm not talking about through religion and through beating down and through tearing up and through giving all these rules, regulations that y'all made up, not the Bible. We just show them this gift that came for them. And guess what? Do any of y'all like someone helping you open your gift? Don't you like doing it yourself? Get away. I'm tearing my, this is mine. Yeah, you got a little brother or sister trying to tear the paper. No, I want to open the I want to open it. That's how people feel. Let me open what God's given me. I don't need your hands all in my business. Just let God show me what I need to do. Let God, let me and God do this. And you, if we'll step out of the way and just show them the gift, point them to Jesus, he does take the wheel. From then on, I promise you, he takes the wheel. We're the ones that wreck people. Because we grab the wheel. No, no, go this way. But I thought that, no, 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 no. But the Bible said, no, no, no. Here's how we do it in the Baptist church. Here's how we do it in the Methodist church. Here's how we do it in the Presbyterian church. Here's how we do it in the Pentecostal church. We got all these ways we do things. But is it God's way? Show them the gift of Jesus, because this gift breaks the boundaries of every denomination, because it's not about that. It's about faith in Christ. There's not but one Jesus. And guess what? The Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, and the Pentecostals, they do all believe in the same Jesus. Okay? They believe in the same Jesus. But man, we separate ourselves so much. Just accept this gift of Jesus. He is the Son of God. Where's my next verse? Chapter 2, right? Yeah. Go through 2 now. Verse 1, chapter 2. We'll skip over. It came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph, when he went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So now we read earlier, she's going to be, you know, a virgin is going to give birth. Now the baby's in her womb. She's carrying Jesus. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Just, y'all have heard this, I know, but, you know, everybody's going to the city to be taxed. All the rooms were full, nowhere to stay. That's why they were in the inn. It wasn't because they didn't have money to pay. They were in the inn because there wasn't any room, which is very symbolic too, right? Sometimes we don't make room for Jesus in our life. Don't have room for Jesus. Got this going on. I texted someone the other day and said, you know, I really been missed you, da 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 da. And said, I've been really busy, really, really busy. And so my response was this: don't get too busy for God. Man, don't get too busy for God. We got things to do, but you know what? They'll be there when you get there. I got folks all the time text me, I'm not going to be there. I've got to go shopping today. Okay, you'll be out by, 11:30 the rest of the day. Make time for God. We can make time if we want. We can make room if we want. So they're in. The baby is in the little manger. Baby is born. She's wrapped in clothes. Verse 8. There were in the same country, the same shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. The angel said to them, fear not, for behold, this is a key verse, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to just the Baptist and Pentecostal people. I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not just the Jewish people, but the Gentiles, the Samaritans. Every culture, every language, every nation, every race, every creed, every person, every life has an opportunity to receive this gift of Jesus. He's not a selective God. He is definitely an equal employer opportunity, whatever that's called. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Jesus, this news is for everybody. And here's the kicker. You don't know what I know some of your stories. I'm your pastor. And sometimes y'all tell me too much. It's okay. But I promise you it will go to my grave, okay? As hard as that is to carry sometimes, it will go to my grave. Gordon's like, thank you. Thank you, pastor. You're welcome, brother. No matter, some of us think, how could this gift be to me when I've rejected him most of my life? When I've ran most of my life? Man, my mouth is foul, pastor, and my ways are wicked, and I do things in secret and in darkness that nobody knows, and I got to carry that shame and that guilt and that pain. This gift can't be for me because I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. None of us deserve the gift of Christ. It's by grace, unmerited favor. Unmerited means we didn't do anything to get it. For those that think they can earn the grace of God because of the way they live, they are deceiving themselves. There is no holiness apart from Christ living inside of us. That's what makes us holy. If you're here today and you're like, I can never have this gift because even if I do believe he died for me and I try to serve him and follow him and love him, I'm going to fail over and over. So what's the use in trying? Isn't that a ridiculous argument? I mean, what if you went into a marriage like that? Well, we're married, and baby, I'm going to do good until it gets, things get rough and, I'll just quit trying. No. Or raising kids, that'll last for, you bring them home from the hospital day 2, day 3. Oh. And then by day 13, need some sleep. Then by the age of 2, what have I done? By the age of 13, really? You know, Melly's always telling the kids, I'm the giver of life here. It should be really your birthday. Should be my birthday. I'm the giver of life. I'm the one that delivered you. It's really my birthday 3 times a year. It's really, and plus my own. It's really mine. You know, think about that. If we gave up every time it got hard, we would have nothing. No marriage, no kids, no job. I mean, think about that. Your boss tells you something you don't like the first time. Well, I can't do that. I ain't going to try. Well, then see you. So when it comes to our walk with God, yes, we're going to fail over and over and over. Doesn't mean that we walk away and abandon it. Say, I'm not going to serve you, God, because I can't always do it. We don't always serve God to the best of our abilities. We don't always serve God the best way we can. But this gift came anyway. This gift of Jesus came in spite of you and because of you. And that's what I think about. Man, it came in spite of me. In spite of my rejection, in spite of the things I would do wrong, he came for me. For the person with the needle in their arm in an apartment by themselves, he came for them. For the drunk who hits the bars every night because that's all he knows to do, he came for them. For the woman or the man who gives himself away just to find a little bit of pleasure between the sheets, he came for them. For the one who lives a life of lying and deceiving and stealing, he came for them. We've got to get out of our religious setting and realize this gift wasn't for the ones on Sunday morning in the sanctuary. This gift was for every breath that blows, every foot that walks, every mouth that speaks, and every hand that can raise. Yes, I came for you. What a gift. Wrapped up and paid for already. And we don't deserve it, but he gave it to us. The angel goes on to tell him in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." You know, in the sports world, that's a terminology we hear sometimes, right? You know, the quarterback comes, and we hear the term, they're going to be their Savior, right? They're going to be their Savior. They're going to save the team. They're going to be their, you know, their Savior. How disrespectful. There's one Savior. You know what a Savior is? It saves us. From what? From our sins. It saves us from ourselves. Jesus, when this gift came, was for one purpose: to restore and redeem us and pay the price for sin that none of us could pay. Boy, God chose a really odd method, didn't he? I mean, think about it. He's God. He could have done it any way. I mean, really? He's God. He could have done what he wanted. But he chooses to have a virgin become impregnated with the seed of God. This natural woman who birthed this perfect child. And then mama, 33 years later, had to watch her son be completely murdered in front of everybody. Imagine the pain of that. But you know what? Mary wasn't automatically saved on her own merit either, was she? Jesus was Mary's Savior too. He was Mary's Savior. Mary wasn't any holier than any of you women in here. No holier whatsoever. She was just the vehicle God chose. She wasn't any holier. She was favored. The Bible says that. She was favored. She was chosen. She was special. But far as holiness, she wasn't any holier because guess what? Do you know little Mary was born in sin too? Mary had a mom and dad that were in sin, and she came through sin. Mary wasn't sinless. Only Christ was sinless. So as he came forth in that manger for 33 years, he would live his life for the purpose of redeeming us. At 12 years old, he was teaching in the synagogues. At 30 years old, talking about a powerful career. 3.5 years? Man, we got preachers and ministers 50, 60 years in a church, right? Or what he did in 3.5 years? Whew. I ain't never caused nobody to walk on water, have y'all? I'm not raised the dead. I'm not seeing anybody. I'm not healed any blind people. What have you done, Pastor? That's a good question. Anyway, I love y'all. 3.5 years. Look what he accomplished. And then he came on his own to turn himself in a week before he was to die. They didn't have to drag him in kicking and screaming. He rode in himself. And they were all praising. Oh, he's come to restore Israel. Well, he did, but in a much broader sense. Not in the way we are. You know, God has made, the old slogan Trump says, make America great, right? God has made things great again. God has truly made things great again. Because as Melanie said about her cousin, Shom, I like what she said that, which I remember what she said in a moment, I really thought it was good, when she said that by his time comes, she said something there, but talking about when our time comes, you know, our turn, that's what she said, it'll be our turn one day. It'll be our turn. Isn't it exciting when you're waiting in line at an amusement park and you're the next one to get on the ride? It's your turn and you're scattering trying to get the seat. Or isn't it exciting when you got your buzzer at Logan's or Outback? Hey, it's our turn. Our time, we get a table. We get excited when it's our turn, right? When you get your little treat bag today, it'll be your turn to get your bag. As you come up here, my turn. We like it when it's our turn. In a board game, my turn, right? We love it being our turn. Some of y'all testifiers, you can't wait. Okay, hurry up. I will say something, Pastor. It's my turn. Well, you know what? Our turn's going to come. It's a beautiful thing when God calls our name. Thank you, Lord. It's my turn not to die, not to be in the ground in a grave, not to, you know, have loss. It's my time to now live. The Bible says in Psalms that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of God are the death of his saints, because he knows it's their turn. Come on in. It's your turn. Remember the old, I'm an old Twilight Zone guy. I love Twilight Zones. And there was an episode where the guy's riding the train. What's that name of that town? Willoughby. He rides. He's a New York businessman. He's stressed. He can't work no more. He's riding a train home one night, has a dream that he's in this different place. But it was a dream. So he dreamed that a couple times in this train. Then one day, it wasn't a dream. The train stops, and he hears the train conductor. And for Generation Zers, train conductor is the guy on the train that goes route through and talks and stuff. And the train guy, well, a train is what goes in a track. No, I'm playing y'all. The train guy starts walking and says, Willoughby, we're stopped at Willoughby. And the guy opens up the shade, looks out the window. Now, this was filmed in, you know, he was in the 1960s. Now he's back in 1898, I think. And he looks out and sees a guy on one of them big bicycles with the big front wheel, the big Gandhi wheel, you know, and he's riding it. And he sees a little the stage with the band playing under it. He went back in time. He got off the train, and they began to and they called him by name, whatever his name was, Mr. Jones. Testing 1, 2 there. He gets off the train and everybody knows his name, and he went from where he was to where he was going to be forever. Now, I know it's a Twilight Zone. No, it's fiction, da, da, da. But it does give us an insight, I think, to how the kingdom is. That we're going to be known by our name. We're going to see our Creator when our name is called because of this gift that came. That it'll be our turn to get off the train. And God, I do believe this, that God has something individually wrapped and prepared for us to see. I don't think there's one scene that we all see. I don't think, you know, my grandpa, you know, other people that I know, you know, that I love, it's went on, Melanie's family, different people in her family, Shawn. I don't think they all see the same thing. I think God has an individual gift to show our eyes that when we cross over, thank you, Lord, because he knows what he wants us to see. That's the gift God given us. And I'm so thankful for that. Let's wrap this up here. It says, what verse am I on?
12. This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then suddenly, see, there was a witness that took place here. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace had came to the earth. Peace in here. We still have wars, still have battles, still have racism, still have all kinds of issues that there's not peace. I know that. But there's peace in here. There's peace with God. I no longer have to worry about future judgment of my sins, because those judgments were placed upon this gift that came 2,000 years ago to set me free. So I have peace in God, and peace with God, and peace through God, and peace because of God. Hallelujah. I've got peace. So I don't worry about my tomorrow, because God's in my tomorrow. And I know when he calls my name, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be beautiful. I had a vivid dream about 2 months ago, a vivid dream, where I knew God was showing me a different place. And the dream that I had, I was, and it's probably because of the work I do on the side now, but I was in a cemetery, and we were digging a hole. And I remember the guy says, you got to go down that hole to fix something. I'm like, I ain't going down that hole. I'm claustrophobic, number one, and I ain't going back to get covered up for my time. I ain't going no hole. So I climbed down, and then there were some steps, and I went down these steps and into, it was weird. It was a different rim. I did go down instead of up. That kind of concerned me a little bit. But anyway, I went down these steps. I remember going to this place. Well, actually, there was a door. I went through a door, down these steps, and I was in this place. And when I went to this place, it was so calm and quiet and peaceful. And the lighting looked different. It wasn't like how our daylight out here looks. It was a different lighting. And I remember looking up behind me, and I saw the door I went through just suspended in midair, still there, but no steps. And I knew I couldn't go back through what I came through. The steps were gone. That I had crossed into a portal in a rim. And the guy, there was some guy walking with me, I remember who it was, some guy with me, and I said, this is beautiful. He goes, ain't it though? Ain't it? And it was such a peace that I had that I realized that I wasn't in Kansas anymore. I knew I was somewhere else. And I know God showed me that dream as just a confirmation, and it wasn't a crazy dream. I really believe that was something God showed me for a reason, to give us a witness and assurance. You know what? There's more beyond this earth. There's a whole world we can't see. Our loved ones aren't just laying in the ground. They're not rotting away. Man, our loved ones are where God said they would be. He called their name and they rose. And they're in his presence forevermore because of what happened 2,000 years ago. It changed the world. It changed our future. It changed our destiny. We were destined to die and now we're destined to live. We were destined to be lost and now we're destined to be found. We were destined to be separated from God, and now we're destined to be with God forevermore. Just like Revelation says in chapter 21, verse 3 through 5, I saw a new heaven, new earth come down from heaven. You know, the old was passed away. Everything was new. Man, that's our future because of this gift. This gift of God is for you today. It's for every person, no matter what age you are. This gift is for you. All of you were born on purpose. I say this numerous times and I truly mean it. You may have been born without the method of your consent, but you weren't born without the method of God's consent. Because God is still the giver of life that breathes in that womb and causes it to come alive. And if you're alive and you're in this room, you're part of God's plan. You may not know what that plan is. You may be very confused. We've got greatest generation all the way to Generation Z in this church. And I guess beyond that, I guess Natalie's baby is not Generation Z. It's probably something else. I don't know what they're going to call her or he. Is it a he? Her. Yep. I don't know what they're going to call her. I really don't know. Z plus. I don't know. But I'm really, you know, I think about that child is here. What's his name? Her name? Elena. And she's how old? 8 months, little Elena was born by God on purpose and with a plan. And this precious gift that came to Mary, through Mary, to humanity, was for that child and for my grandmother and for me and for Gordon and for Melanie and for Tay and for Kingston and for Maddie and for Peyton, even for David. This gift came. And you can be a part of God's gift today by just saying, Lord, yes, I believe. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for being born for me. Because without Christ, there is no hope. I did a remember service yesterday for Nicholson. It's the first time they did that. They wanted me to speak at it. And what it was, they called for people that lost someone in 2019 that Nicholson has served. It's the first time they ever did it. They sent flyers out. Didn't know what kind of response we'd get, if anybody would come. We didn't know. We had 53 people showed up yesterday for that. And, they picked some songs. And of course, I read scripture. And they kind of told me, says, everybody doesn't believe. We're trying, you can read scripture and all, but we're trying to keep it where, because everybody don't believe. We serve multiple faiths. But, man, once I got behind that pulpit, that didn't happen. It just didn't happen. And look, I can be PR as anybody. I can kiss somebody. I can kiss somebody to get what I want. I'm good. I can do that. I ain't got a problem doing that. But man, when I got behind that pulpit, I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to flow what God's given me. And if one person out of 53 get offended, oh well, 52 got fed. Hallelujah. And so I read scripture, and I read Melanie's famous scripture, Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a season and a purpose, a time to be born and a time to die. I didn't do it quite that way. But that's what I preached on. And I talked about their seasons and their grieving and how people were in different places and how God helped them and tied it in. And then at the end, I said, I want all y'all, we close a silent night. I said, everybody stand up. I want you to sing it together. And some of the funeral people back here looked at me like, what's he doing? That went on the program. You put me in a chapel or sanctuary, man, the preacher comes out. Don't matter. So everybody stood, and to my surprise and their surprise back there, they started singing. To the point the funeral people were videotaping them. How beautiful that 53 people who were grieving a loss were singing together, strangers, silent night. Then I went a second step further. In closing prayer, I broke the snakes out. In closing prayer, I said, because I was flowing what I was feeling in that moment with the Lord. I said, I know a lot of you don't know each other. I said, you may not be a hands person. If you're not, that's fine. But take someone's hand beside you or put your arm on their shoulder if you feel better with that. But just touch somebody, because all of you are sharing in the same pain today. You're all sharing in grief. And we prayed together. Everybody holding hands or touching each other. They didn't even know each other. Such a beautiful moment. I presented the message of hope. And maybe everybody didn't believe, but so far, no emails. I still got a job as of right now. So hopefully everything's okay. But you know what? Every heart is hungry. Even the unbeliever. That's why they're so nasty and angry and mean and grumpy and irritable and such a... Rawr! Because they need Jesus. And they know that. And all their stuff doesn't take the meow out of their claws. But man, Jesus does. And then we closed the end of the service. Everybody got a little bell from our Christmas tree. Everybody got a little bell. And we all rung the bell in memory of our loved one. It was so sweet. But it was very moving. And of course, I stood at the pastor. I came off the stage, stood up front, again, the bell's out, and gave every single, well, not the, most of the guys, but gave all the women, a hug. Some of the men I patted, if they were receptive to that, but but gave them a hug. People crying. And you know what? We had a Catholic family there. And the reason I knew they were Catholic, when they walked in the door, there's a whole family, a whole row of Catholic people. They come in. They did the kneel down before they sat down and did the cross and sat down. So I knew they were Catholic. And they were crying. And guess what? I even hugged the Catholic lady. Yes, I did. I hugged her, and she hugged me back, and nothing happened. It's all good because it's about Jesus. That's the gift that keeps on giving. And that gift goes to every generation of, and every belief system can hear about this gift. And if they're offended, they're only offended because they've not understood what the gift really is. And when they clearly see Jesus loves me. Remember on Friends, Joey? You know? You talking to me? Was that one talking to me? You talking to me? Who said that? Somebody said that anyway. You talking to me? Yes, God's talking to you. God is speaking to you, and he loves you beyond anything you could ever, ever do. And I'll say this in closing about this gift, because we don't hear it enough, because preachers don't tell you this enough, because I don't think they want you set free. I really don't. You cannot out-sin the love God has for you. You can't out-rebel the love God has for you. You can even get a tattoo and God still love you. Isn't that good news? You can have multicolored hair and God still loves you. You can use ugly words like Don does sometimes, he admitted in church, and he still loves you. You can not tip your waitress today and God will still love you. She won't, but God will. God, you can't out-sin or out-rebel or out-hate the love God has for you. And when you see that gift clearly, Jesus loves me through my stupidity, yes. Man, when everybody else fails, God doesn't. Receive this gift today. Marjorie, come up here and play a little something soft. I want to do a prayer this morning for all of you that are here, that you understand how much Jesus loves you and how that when he came 2,000 years ago, you were on his mind. There's an old song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And that is so true. And when Jesus came to be born on earth, all of us were part of this plan. What a beautiful, beautiful plan. A beautiful plan. Let's stand to our feet, if you would, for a minute. So I want to close out with prayer. Lord, as we stand in this holy place this morning, honoring you, God, all that you are, we thank you for your gift to us. We thank you, God, you won't take it back. It wasn't a mistake. We thank you, God, that you gave us this gift freely, at no charge, at no cost. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We can't keep it on our own. You gave us freely this precious gift of mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for what happened 2,000 years ago for my future. You changed everything, and I thank you for it. I pray that all of us in here this morning, from our children to whatever age we are today, that we see clearly who you are, that you are the Lamb of God who taketh the sin away from the world, that you are our Redeemer, our Messiah, our Emmanuel. You are everything and all things. Let us see your beauty, your love, your forgiveness. Let us not look in the mirror and see us, but let us see what you have done for us, and that will change everything. Lord, let us rise from our ashes today and dance again. Let sorrow turn into joy, because good news has come today. We have heard glad tidings for all people that we are saved from our sins because of your gift. Thank you for this gift, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sing that song if you know it, Marjorie. Let's sing it to them this morning, y'all. In spite of knowing you.